we'll get going, everybody. Okay, a reminder to everyone, these are being recorded. Pat and Steve, thanks for showing up again.
Thank you.
If you want to make public comment, just come on up and tell us who you are and drop your mask and speak into the microphone. Let's see, any public comment on items not on the agenda? Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Is there anything any board member would like pulled from the consent agenda for further discussion? Nick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the budget versus actuals, and I had two questions for our treasurer, Walt. Yep, I don't know what an on behalf payment from the state is for $86,000. It sounds real good to me. And then there's a contribution and donations of $40,000, which says we're 8,262.2% over budget. And I thought that looked awfully good too, in terms of, I guess if that's a contribution to us, since we're a surplus budgeting, that's over budget, so that should be extra money. So is this the CARES thing, or what is this? What are those amounts?
It's a solar grant.
Yeah, the solar, your solar grant, your solar project.
Let's use the,
It's your solar project.
That's a solar project. And the on behalf payment from the state?
That one is, that's the CARES. CARES, right? Or PER?
The PERS.
PER, okay.
Yeah.
What part of it?
The payroll.
Cheryl, go ahead and tell me exactly.
It's the payroll. They count. It's kind of an offset. It's hard for me to understand. It has to do with payroll, where it's paid ahead, and they put it. She put it in the revenue part, and then it'll come out. It'll balance out with our personnel.
Right.
It's not new money. It's budgeted. Some money that we had budgeted is just moved.
Or is correct.
It's
correct.
Not a CARES grant.
No. No. It's not a CARES grant.
Right. That's different.
Right.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'll zero some out.
Any other board member comments? Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda? And I'll just alert the public that we're going to improve the meeting synopsis from the 17th and from our special work session on that we did on December 15th? No. No. November 23rd.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Goes to Nick. Okay, moving on to the regular agenda, amended expenditure for the budget for FY 2021. Walt, you want to just remind us what we're doing here?
Sure. As per the recommendations from our auditor that were presented at the last regular meeting, we are making submitting an amended budget that reflects the capital purchases that are occurring in this fiscal year, consisting of purchase for SCBAs, radios, and the capital expenditure for the ambulance. And so we're making that adjustment, presenting that to the county so that we can more accurately reflect those capital expenditures. And they're obviously coming out of our capital reserve.
Is there any board discussion on this item? Is there any public comment on the amended budget? Can I have a motion to approve the resolution to the county commissioners?
Motion to approve the county resolution amending fiscal year 2020-2021. Budget to reflect capital purchases.
More discussion on the motion?
There's Second. I'll second.
I recognize your second. Any public comment on the motion? Okay, Cheryl.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, this is going to take everybody's signature when it comes around. And those two there that you have in front of you, Walt, those just go right over to Cheryl. You don't need to sign those. Okay, Pintler Billing Services. This is a discussion and decision to accept the billing contract. We've had a very nice lady whose name I'm blanking on, representative, come down and speak to us. Is Leslie?
Leslie,
yeah. Is there any board discussion on this? Would you like the chief to clarify how this works, any board member? Nick?
Yes, I'd...
Will you turn on your microphone, Nick?
Test.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
I guess I would like to know what other people who contacted other people, what other proposals are there? Is this only the sole source proposal?
Jason, maybe you can tell us the due diligence work that you've done on Pintler. Describe a little bit of that reaction.
Yeah, so I called all of the references that Leslie provided in her proposal. I didn't get to speak to everybody because I just didn't get calls back to everybody. But looking at this list here, I spoke to at least seven. And of those seven, every single one of them had nothing but glowing remarks about Pintler Billing. Yeah, I just didn't hear anything but very positive on both on the actual billing returns that they received and then the customer service provided. Those were the two big high points that I heard from. And a number of these references had used, and I really don't want to mention it, but another billing service here in the state of Montana. And just couldn't be happier with Pintler Billing. And that includes Chief Lindroth at Central Valley Fire.
And if I'm correct, there's no fee for service here. There's only fee on percent of monies collected.
That is correct. Yeah, and we're not locked into anything for any amount of time. If we decide we don't like Pintler Billing and we're unhappy with their performance, we don't have to use them anymore.
Any more board discussion?
I guess the reason I asked the question is because I think our board has a desire to show competition for the expenditure of dollars, and I checked with two other groups in Montana. There are several other billing. One in Missoula charges 6%. Another one in Billings, 4-8%. And as a private citizen, I can take a sole source, and that's fine to do. But as a taxpayer group, I think we owe it to our public to show and listen to competitive proposals and to show those proposals. I realize that we're not looking for the lowest bid, we're looking for the, what's the correct word, the...
Responsive.
Yeah, the most responsible bid. But I think it does a disservice to our public if we don't show that we have actually looked at or had proposals from others. For example, the Missoula people would come over and make the same presentation style as Leslie did. You know, and I have nothing against Leslie. I think tremendous organization, and it's probably one I would choose if I was a sole source. But I guess I would be concerned that the board does not give the public this public doesn't think the board doesn't look at competition for their dollars, especially in given of our recent procurement policies.
More board discussion. public comment?
It's a big thing. I didn't realize it was small. I thought it was small. Steve White, Blackwood Road. Quick question, if I may, on the contract when I just briefly went through it. It's 8%, but I also see there's some other charges beyond the 8%. Statement charges and subscription charges. Is that amount too much? Because
yeah.
I thought we were just straight at 8%. We always just talk straight 8%, but now I see there's some other things. That there's no startup charges. Looks like that's in A, but...
My understanding is there's $1.50 per statement that they have to send out. You know, that's for transport, so that would depend on how many transports and if they have to actually mail out a statement. Visiting with her, with Leslie, you know, it's possible that the transaction is made through insurance and there is no statement, but my understanding is there is $1.50. Per statement charge.
So the 8% is paid upon the when they pay their bill, but let's just say we sent out 10 statements and 4 were not paid. So we're paying for 10 to be sent, and then when we get paid for 6 of those, we get 8% on whatever that, we have to pay 8% of whatever that those bills were.
What's collected.
And then our statements just sent month after month. So let's say, I mean, we're dealing with small numbers here, but still I'm trying to understand how it works. That 10 statements were sent in January, and then 6 were paid. You're going to pay 8% of the 6. And so there's 4 that haven't been paid. So the next month has 10 sent out. Is there going to be 14 sent out then? And you pay another buck and a half per... Is there only one statement sent? There's no past due statements?
No, there's 3 statements, is my understanding.
So you're paying $1.50 for each of those 3 statements that are sent out?
I would have to clarify that.
I'm just curious, because we didn't put any of those numbers into our little spreadsheet thing that we did. We just put a flat 8%, and when I saw this, it doesn't amount to a whole lot of money, but I'm kind of surprised I didn't have that amount to throw into this. That was my question, Mr. Chair.
Any more public comment? Pat?
Pat Wilson, Metal Art Drive. Yeah, I just wanted to second Steve's comments. We didn't have those numbers. And then the other one that I would kind of wonder about is what the clearinghouse subscription was in there that was item 942, because there's two charges in bullet statement 2 that didn't have to look for. Kind of trust that now that you're down the contract signing, all the bells and whistles get added on. So, thanks.
Sure.
I don't have information on the clearinghouse cost, but I can certainly follow up and find out what that is. It would be put in our expenses for the transport portion.
Yeah, it's this board member's opinion that Pintler billing is probably a reasonable place to start. While I don't disagree with Nick that, you know, we have a procurement policy, and generally, obviously, we want to make sure that taxpayers' dollars are being allocated at least in a competitive process. I think that we're in an experimental stage here with these guys. We have good reports back from people who use them in our community. And I think the downside risk to district residents and taxpayers is relatively low. Happy to reassess after we get down the road a year, but I think that I'd be comfortable moving forward with this contract as presented. Other board members?
I guess I would just like to say that I concur with the chair's perspective.
More public comment?
Not public. But at some point on the competitive bidding on this, I'm not sure what we're looking at in numbers yet. And if we get a year under our belt and it's worth $10,000 to them, I think we have a then it starts to make sense in the procurement policy about what level we're going out for bid. And so I'm comfortable at the moment to try and make a run at this for this trial period with sole sourcing.
Any more board discussion?
Yes, I guess if we treat this as a trial, which I'm not sure is a one-year trial, and I guess the whole business is a one-year trial, I would think about that, but I have to know. When there's a 25% decrease in the base billing from 8% to 6%, I think that's significant. That's more dollars that's retained, but I guess if we're me, and I don't think we're in such a hurry to have this billing in place, that I would suggest maybe we delay the decision until the next meeting and give time to get proposals from these at least two others that I know of that are willing to submit proposals. And then we would protect ourselves as far as the public is concerned, that would know that we are at least looking at things on a competitive basis for that tax dollar.
More board discussion.
I guess one question, are these two other entities, are they already doing billing work with organizations in the state?
That's my understanding. I went on the web and asked for Montana ambulance billing, and I got Soulstone, Missoula, and medical billing and coding and billings, and talked to two people, one at each place. Both would like to put in a proposal. I didn't think it was my place to solicit those proposals, but I just thought that there are other sources of people, and like I say, whether these are responsible in that sense, I'm not saying we're looking for the lowest bid, and I certainly have nothing against Pindler. I just think that if we're not in a huge hurry, I think the board would do better to go a little slower and show competition for the tax dollar. I think we're going to have lots of purchases in the future, and the sooner we get people thinking that we are really in looking after their dollar, I think that it's better off we are.
More board discussion. Any more public comment? Are there any motions that would like to be put forward?
Mr. Chairman, I move to delay this decision until the next meeting after we receive three or a couple more competitive proposals to look at.
Motion on the floor. Is there a second?
A question for staff. Are there any concerns or comments with regard to getting a couple more, soliciting a couple more positions on that billing process?
I'm not concerned about a time delay. I will say that the company out of Missoula, who I've used in the past, I haven't heard anybody say anything good about that company. Now, the one in Billings, I know nothing about. But Missoula Soulstone, I've heard nothing but negative reviews of their performance. But I know nothing about the company out of Billings. And if we wanted to get that, get a proposal from them, you're not setting me back anything currently, given our schedule of training and acquisition of capital outlay.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second to the motion?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
Cheryl?
JJ?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Nick?
Aye.
Justin?
Aye.
Pete?
Yes. Okay. Bond refinancing. Woo!
This is a barn burner.
Oh, yeah.
My feet are feeling tingly.
Totally tingling. We got two things
Right, there are two components to this.
Two components. Well, I'm just going to turn it over to you because you're eager to get on this, I can tell.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some questions that I don't know if I'll be able to answer everything, but we'll see if we can muck our way through it. There are two components. One is the resolution of the board to pursue refinancing of our bonds, as everybody was aware of in our previous discussion. Related to this issue, bonds are callable after January 2021. And so one component's the resolution. The other component is an engagement letter for bond counsel, which is something that we have to do. This is per description of the process by Bridget Ekstrom with D.A. Davidson. And Jackson Murdo and Grant, they're experienced in this, and they pretty much do all of these bond refinancing legal counsels. And the cost of that is, let me say, approximately $5,000 to provide counsel for the bond refinancing. And based on the current interest environment, as was presented last at the meeting before our special meeting, last regular meeting, roughly in the current interest environment, we can expect somewhere in the neighborhood of, in present value terms, of about $110,000 in savings. And there are some rules of engagement, and we meet all the criteria for pursuing refinancing based on interest rate differences and cost and so on. All of those were again laid out in that paperwork that was provided to us by Bridget from D.A. Davidson at the last regular board meeting. Bottom line, it does look advantageous to the board to and the constituents in the district to pursue refinancing. The benefits outweigh the costs. It's not, you know, depending on what the interest rate is at the time that things are actually realized. It may vary a little bit from the proposal, but if things remain stable, it'll be somewhere in that neighborhood of a little over $100,000. And so I guess I would recommend that the board pursue this and approve the engagement letter and the resolution.
Board discussion, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a couple questions for our treasurer. So the total cost to refinance to us is $5,000, or is that just the lawyer part?
That's the bond counsel.
What's the total cost?
I think there are some other smaller costs in there. And let's see.
Everybody gets a piece.
Right, everybody, yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody gets a little piece.
Title recording, appraisal.
Right, but there's underwriters' fees, and there's some guidelines there, for example, that they can't exceed 0.8 to 1.1% of the principal amount of the series. I think that's probably the largest cost is the underwriters' fee.
So do you have some estimate possible around that we don't, or do we just really don't know until it's all done and over and it costs us something and we just don't know in advance?
Roughly that 0.8 to 1.1% of the principal amount of the 2021. And the principal amount right now, let's see, where are we at? Let's see, would be, oh, where is it? No, she had it on here. Where's our?
Well, regardless, the savings.
Yeah, the savings, yeah, halfway.
Dwarf the cost.
Yeah, I think there is $100,000 savings, but I'm just curious what is
the I think amount outstanding is 1,490,000 is the outstanding debt.
So 0.01% of that is
I would get somewhere, $14,000, $15,000. So, yeah, some, I would bet that somewhere in that neighborhood.
$15,000?
Yeah.
What?
$15,000?
Yeah.
The second question I have is, does this change when the, how much longer, for example, right now, if we didn't refinance in 7 years, we paid it off?
Well, what it, what
so what it, does, what does, is there a time change on refinancing?
No, what it does is it changes the amount that's paid per year. So the bond would be paid off in 2028 still. July of 2028. And but if you look at the example that was provided from the last regular board meeting, if you look at that table, what it does is it drops the annual total cost down. And so obviously they adjust the millage at the county that's collected for that bond payment. So the millage goes down accordingly.
And then, so that millage is dropped down, and we save on that, is that gonna go back then to the principal and interest of that millage, or is that gonna be money that's gonna be moved over into the
It's not a general, side? It doesn't go into our general fund. They just reduce the amount that's collected.
Yeah, so in other words, the savings goes toward the mortgage, is what I'm trying to say. We're paying off the mortgage.
We're paying it off faster, right. So there's less, the only monies that are collected are the monies necessary to service that debt.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Nick, that's in, it's labeled attachment E in the packet here of the tables. Actually, it's kind of in the middle of the packet. But the table's actually pretty helpful there. And then Bridget's got her notes. I assume that's what you're looking at, Walt.
Right.
Yeah, looking down there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this just seems like a smart thing to do to me. So, is there any public comment?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that you guys are doing this. I think there's yet a window. I think you're under the same laws as kind of us. You have a window of opportunity that you can only do this, I think, at a 10-year point. And the reason is that those that have purchased the bonds have an expectation of earnings. And so that you can be doing it every year, otherwise the bonds are no good. But if you let this go by, you don't get a second shot. And I appreciate that that's what's happening here, is that you have this window, and Bridget is a rock star when it comes to doing this stuff. And it's money well spent. I think the county, I think when we did two or three refinancings, I think on the open space bonds, and I'm trying to think there's another one, but the county saved about $450,000 by doing it. And that's right out of the taxpayer's pocket because, again, you're paying off your capital needs. And so this is a good thing, and I'm really glad that you're doing it. Thanks, Walt, for all your hard work on that.
Board discussion. Any more public comment? Got a motion here?
I guess if it's okay with the chair, I'd like to propose that a motion to approve the resolution and the engagement letter simultaneously.
Sounds good.
Both. Motion to approve the Jackson Murdo and Grant engagement letter and the resolution to pursue refinancing the bonds.
I second your twofer.
Any public comment on the motion? Any more board discussion on the motion? Cheryl.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Good work, Walt. Really good work. This is going to Ms. Cheryl. Coming up, Nick and Justin, you guys are up. Hope you both run again. If you're not going to run again, find somebody running your place. So we don't have to have an election. So you don't have to tell us now, of course, but we do have to have a resolution calling for trustee election. Is there any board discussion about this? Any public comment? Can I have a motion approving a resolution calling for our election?
So moved.
Second.
Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
I do have the duck here. So,
Justin. Well done, Cheryl.
Well done.
I'm assuming that you.
For Nick. Your signature worked out there. What is this?
Oh, it's for Nick.
It's for Nick.
Okay. Now we come to the entertainment part of the meeting. Fire Chief's report. Is that you or Brian tonight?
That's me.
What do you want us to know that's not in the report? Give us a COVID update for sure.
COVID updates is, if you guys haven't been following the county numbers, we've actually enjoyed a decrease in daily positive tests. And I hate to jump to conclusions here, but I think it's pretty safe to say that when the college students left before Thanksgiving, that might have helped our numbers a little bit. But I can't prove that. At least we didn't see a post-Thanksgiving spike that everybody was so worried about. So that's very positive. Here at the department, we've had a few positive cases. We haven't had one lately, and we haven't had any spread within our community. They were people who got it elsewhere and didn't end up infecting anybody else within the department. We were able to isolate those individuals successfully.
Is there anybody currently in isolation or quarantine?
No.
Thank you.
So, that's what's going on with COVID. We haven't changed anything. We haven't heard from the health department where we might sit for vaccines. Honestly, I don't believe that we are the highest priority right now in the community, but it would be nice at some point to get vaccines. But I think there's some more important priorities out there for those vaccines. But take what we can get. A little update, engine 6, which is not one of our oldest engines. I'd say it's a medium-aged engine. Just got diagnosed today, not with COVID, but with something much, much worse, which is a failed EGR. It's part of the emissions system that we enjoy with diesels these days, and that's going to be an expensive fix. I have to pull the turbos off and pull the whole doghouse out of it, and get the part itself is about $1,000, but the amount of labor is gonna. They said a week's worth of work, so we're gonna feel the sting of that. But cost of doing business, it's has nothing to do with us or the way that we drive the trucks. Camp Implement said that Karst, who has a number of those International Max Force diesel motors, has had to do this on every single one of their buses. It just is something that happens with that motor, and we were lucky enough to pick it. And then CARES Act, I can't remember what my last update to you guys was, but things got a little funny with the state, who was kind of utilizing the MACO to kind of allocate that money to county organizations. But we did get our allotment, so we were awarded about 105 in the end. Well, I think we were appropriated 115,000, and we spent about 105,000 of that. One of the things that we're getting is the entire power load cot system for the new ambulance. So we will not have to spend the money on that when we purchase this ambulance. And we've got two LifePak 15 defibrillator monitors, one for the new ambulance and one for our existing ambulance. So that was a great deal for Highlight Fire District. And that's what's new in the zoo. We got radio should show up any day now. It's advertised currently. It ran in the Sunday paper that we put out an RFP for the ambulance. This is the packet. I've already sent it out to two companies, waiting for a response from a third. But I just proactively sent it out to the companies that do business in Montana.
So that's like Pierce, and is it that kind of company, or is it?
No, these are, you know, one is Sawtooth Ambulances, which is out of eastern Montana. They carry Osage and Med-X ambulances. The other is Apgar Ambulances out of Whitefish, which carries Demir's mostly in Braun ambulances. And both very reputable companies. And Pierce is... So Hughes Fire, which is the middleman for Pierce, is now once again repping Lifeline Ambulances, which that's actually what the manufacturer of our current QRU is. But I just didn't get much back from them on the van style ambulance. Like, we're looking for it. Like, they kind of, their answer was, yeah, we'll do that. But they didn't have any finished product to say we've built, you know, 150 of these. And, you know, it was really kind of seemed like it was a product they didn't specialize in. So I'll wait to hear back from Hughes Fire on that.
So what's the style of ambulance that the QRU is? You said van style that we're looking for. So
yeah.
Is it like a box style? What is it?
Yeah, so the QRU is a type 3 where one would use a heavy, not a heavy duty, but what most people call a heavy duty, but a mid-duty chassis, a 450, 550, chassis, and then the ambulance company fabricates the box. They build the entire box and then finish it out on the inside. This bid spec is for is built on a Ford Transit van with a high roof and an all-wheel drive system, which is now stock on Transits, which is nice because to get four-wheel drive before you had to be in the Mercedes Sprinter van world, which is kind of a high maintenance vehicle with no local representation for repairs.
Tell me about it. We had to kill two of ours.
Yep.
Way early in their life.
So yeah, Billings and Missoula. And again, it's the emission system on those diesel motors to meet that Euro 4 and Euro 5 compliance. So this Ford Transit has just a V6 gasoline motor in it. Very simple. But there's a huge cost savings in the van style ambulance because they're not building the entire box from scratch. They're just building out the inside. So it's about in the ballpark of $100,000 cheaper to get a van style ambulance. Downside, not as roomy in the back. For us, I don't think that's going to be a penalty. We're not doing long transports. We're not driving patients to Billings and Missoula and other places. Even Big Sky has a pretty long transport to Bozeman. So I think it'll be well suited for us. It'd be great in our trailer courts where, you know, driving is always limited. So yeah, I think the value's there and the utility's there.
Board member questions for the chief?
Yeah, I have some questions. I have Jason, thank you. I have one for leftover from last time, and I get confused on the numbers you talked about E6 tonight, but I think the transmission went out of R6.
Nope, the transmission went out tender 6.
Well, tender 6?
Correct.
Oh, I thought it was an R6.
Nope.
Cool, I was thinking afterwards, if that was really the R6, are we under a warranty?
Yeah, that would have been nice, yes. Yeah, that would have been lovely, but no such luck.
Second question then is, I thought I understood that you were writing a separate grant to get the COTS. And the CARES money that not talked tonight, the COTS are coming out of the CARES money. I'm a little confused. What, is there a different status on the grant you were writing, or is that a different thing?
Okay, so yeah, there was an original CARES Act piece of revenue that we received that was for personnel reimbursement, so for staffing. The CARES Act money that I got pre-authorized through MACO and the state, same pool of money, but different money. So this isn't digging into that those dollars we received as the administrative and personnel reimbursement. This is a whole different chunk of CARES Act money that we were eligible for and were awarded.
Very good. Thank you.
And there's no match for any of it. It's just you turn in the invoices and they reimburse for it. So we're not even on the hook for a classic 10% match or any of that. So again, in the selling point to them on it was that, you know, we are standing up an ambulance service, and they wanted monies that would be spent to help with any impacts COVID might have on a community. And it's just unquestionable that when you stand up an ambulance service and you're providing that for a community, that helps with COVID response. So I think it only took 3 days for them to approve my request.
Moving forward with the engines, I'm sorry, Nick, did you have more?
No, thank you.
Good questions, though, Nick, about that CARES Act. That is a little confusing about which chunk of money are we receiving.
Thoughts on gas versus diesel going forward with replacing the engines, the big engines?
Yeah, there just isn't a real good gasoline option. And I will tell you, I am so over diesels at this point. And it's mostly, you know, before all the emissions standards, diesel was clearly the way to go. And we like the base smoky. I mean, that's just, you know, that made us firefighters. But yeah, it's really tough to get the torque you need out of a gasoline motor in a fire engine. Strangely enough, Brian, do you remember what city it was you took the electric delivery of an electric?
Let me guess, it was in California.
Yeah,
LA City. Yeah. So who knows? I mean, that technology could develop to a point where it's plausible and feasible. But LA City, I'm sure they got it for free. What's that?
It still has a diesel motor on it.
Yeah, it's just But boy, it feels good, huh?
Any public comment on the chief's report?
You wanted to mention the same parade.
What's that?
Any more board?
Oh, I'll let Brian talk about our little parade we have coming up.
Well, so the night with Sandy event we usually do every December, we obviously canceled because of COVID. But I would give it to the volunteers here. They still wanted to be able to do something for the community. This spring, when we did our little community parade, got really good feedback on it. So there was interest in doing that again. So we kind of decided to throw the night with Santa into a parade. So Saturday, we are going to have another parade with Santa and just take him through the district, through the neighborhoods, and do the Santa review.
Nice.
Nice. Are you Santa Claus?
If you knew me, you'd know.
Okay, trustee activities.
Kate?
Yes.
Number 5 on the agenda. I don't know if a decision needs to be made on that.
I blew right past that. Nick, do you have a question on, and then we'll go back to the agenda.
I think the report is part of the chief's deal or not. I mean, I had a question on this stuff, and I don't know if this is the time or you want to go back to the other.
Well, let's finish up the chief's report.
So my question goes back to last time. I think one of the things that I'm trying to get out of this is, since we're going in this ambulance, is the business about how many transports resulted out of our area, and of those transports, how many did Highlight do, and how many did AMR do, and that we should be tracking that. And last time there seemed to be a little confusion that there was or was not, didn't know, and so I'm wondering how, and I'm glad to try to track that if I know where to get that information, but it seems to me it's important that we start right now keeping track of what transport, BLS transports are going on, because the more data we have over time, going to change from time to time and year to year, I understand, but I'd like to see, you know, one of these 29 emergency calls at 23 in October, what BLS transports resulted and who did them. And I think we can add that to this report. And I'd like to see it in the report if we could, but if we can't, how can I go find that out?
So just to understand, you would like us to track all the transports that AMR does right now?
Out of our area, the two backup AMR. Right now, AMR is our transport deal. You're not doing BLS transports yet. You said we haven't stood that up. We're in the process of doing it. We're starting a transport business. How do we get BLS transports right now out of our area? It's AMR, isn't it?
Yes.
So why can't we write down that of the medical calls in our area that Highlight responded to, these resulted in transports. Five of these were by AMR, and two of them should have been by AMR, but we did them, so that's seven BLS transports in that month. Isn't that a statistic that's key to what we're trying to do with our ambulance service to understand it?
Well, that's totally up to the board if they want to see that. I was under the impression that we weren't going to be tracking ambulance transports until we started doing them, and then we would track how many transports we would do and report that back to the board. I don't believe in the last meeting there was a request to track what AMR is currently doing now. And I wouldn't be able to split them into ALS and BLS for you, because that's determined by them, not us.
Well, we may not be able to split the ALS and BLS, but we are talking about transports. So that was just a question, is how many transports do we have in a given month that out of our area? I think that statistic or number just becomes good data for us to look at for trends and for predicting and seeing where we're going. I think it helps us. I would think it would help us to know that even before our own ambulance service gets started, whatever that might be.
Well, it's totally up to the board what they want me to track.
Opinions of the board.
How much effort is required to gather that information?
Right now, a lot, because the way our system currently works is we'd have to hand go through every report and look to see if there was a transport associated with it. So it doesn't get logged into the system currently, because we're not doing the transport. Once we start doing the transports, then those numbers, our transport numbers, will be very, very clear.
What system are we logging into? Is this software that we bought that we already have? Who owns this software? Where does this come from?
This comes from emergency reporting, but not the medical module of it. Now, once we start doing the transports, we'll be utilizing the medical module portion of emergency reporting.
Is that something that...
But they will still be it will still be difficult to track when AMR does a transport versus when we do a transport.
But all we care about at that point is what we're transporting.
That's the impression I was under. And so, again, it's up to the board. I was under the impression that the board wanted to track the transports that we were doing,
yeah,
not necessarily what AMR was doing. And again, that's why I brought it up to the board before, is to get a consensus of what information that the board wanted me to present for statistical data.
Yeah, it's a moot before we start transporting, I think, Nick, because what it would tell us is the data would imply a need. And we've already just described the need and talked about that. So I'd be, if it's more work at this point, I would just as soon wait until we get the service spun up, and then those numbers are easy to generate, as I understand it. How many transports Highlight Fire does will be a standard part of the chief's report.
Yeah, it would get printed out in a report similar to this, yes, because it all comes out of emergency reporting. Yeah.
So several times I've offered to do a spreadsheet or work. I would be happy to do the heavy lifting or work to get that information and start building that file. It would help us to learn, help us to follow. So if it's not community, is it possible, or if you were to let me or show me how to get that information, is that as much work as it is for me to get it, or if you got it yourself? I mean, I'm willing to do work if that's what it takes. I just think that transports are happening. Why don't we learn as much about it as we can as we go along? I don't know. It can only help. The more data we have, the more we understand, as I look at it. And I'm happy to do the work. I volunteer my services.
Well, we know the number of transports we do now.
We know the number of transports we do.
Yeah. So that's a piece of relevant data. But I don't think we should chase what AMR is doing, Nick.
Well, if it's our transport and AMR's transport, then there are however many transports, and you subtract one from the other, you've got the estimate of the other one. So if there were 15 transports and we did 5 and AMR did 10, we got an idea of who's doing the transports. Or maybe I'm not understanding.
What are you going to do with the information?
Understand how much the need is and to reinforce the need of how much transport it is and where this is going in this trial year of doing it. And the sooner we start getting an understanding of that, I think it just becomes a better understanding of the system.
Other board member opinions? I mean, the chief just needs clear direction, and my sense is that it's the sense of the board that we start tracking this stuff when the service is up and running.
I agree.
Any more board discussion on that? Okay. All right. What did we do on number 5, Cheryl, or not do? Is there something for the board to review? This is discussion, decision, renewal of accident and liability policies, supporting documents attached.
Looking at past years, it appears the board makes a decision to accept the policies as they are written. I've emailed them to you, and I did not print them out for your packet.
Oh, that's right, because you were saving trees.
but they certainly are available, and I have the packet here as well. Packets here as well. The accident policy did not change at all as far as the premium, and the commercial policy decreased by $431.
And I'd just like to add to that too, it's an apples to apples comparison in terms of the coverage.
Correct. In my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's only one other company that even will cover fire stations.
Board discussion. Any public comment? Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and make a motion to renew the accident and liability policies as presented.
Second.
Any public comment on the motion? Any board discussion on the motion? Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, trustee activities. Nick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if anybody reads chronicle anymore. It doesn't take long. It takes me about 2 seconds to get through most of it, but I get to at least get to see my pickles. Find out how my days are going to go after watching pickles. But there was an article on Thursday, December 10th called Commission Shows Support for Revamping Engagement. And I don't know if any of you had a chance to look at that. And I read that and I thought about it in terms of this board and who we are and what we're doing and how we do public outreach. And as you know, that's been something that's been high on my list of things to do. And if you looked at this article and you substituted the word commission for highlight board, and if you substituted the city for is how Bozeman highlighted district residents in the how to include the residents in the decision-making process, a draft initiative to give framework to the city's public outreach efforts that is intended to help build consistent public engagement processes, reduce barriers to participation, and create a common understanding between the board and the residents, Bozeman neighborhoods, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that struck me is that the people here talking about it point out that the generation, most of the people who come to the meetings, out of a sense of obligation, if that, the older people, the Generation X and other generation, the baby boomers, I don't know whatever you call these generations, and Jason brought this up when we were talking about doing things on the website. So as I thought about all of this, I think this board would be well to be a little more consistent, maybe to even have a policy to really take a good look at it. How can we better reach the various generations that are in our constituency? How can we better use Zoom, perhaps? We've been requested to do that. Add to the telephone. How do we do more to get involvement? And I thought this was maybe perhaps a good thing to think about, and I guess I would be willing to chair or work on a committee of two or three to come up with some thoughts of maybe making a policy for the board on trying to get a consistent engagement policy stated. For example, sometimes information gets read into the record, sometimes staff brings information that's read into the record, sometimes other information doesn't get read, it gets put into the synopsis. But anything we can do to get more inclusive, get more people being a partnership in this seems to me a better thing to do. And I know it's an uphill battle. I remember one of my mentors in this happened to be sitting close by, talked about budget meetings for 12 years, and they would have a special room and a special day, and everybody and nobody comes to talk about budgeting for the county. And then when taxes are raised, as we all know in this situation as well, then the building gets packed and everybody's up in arms. I just thought it was something that was worth bringing up, and I would certainly respectfully ask the trustees and members here to think about that and see if we might go forward with a policy or to try to come up with a policy that works for us for trying to give more consistency on public engagement. I call it outreach. A lot of people tell me that's not a good word to use, but that's what it is.
No, outreach is exactly the word to use, and if you'll have this trustee support to create a fund in the budget to do that, to do outreach, if you'd like to head that up. But just a little history. We used to have community meetings, right? What did we do? We went to homeowners districts. We identified every homeowners district in the district. There were quite a few of them. And we would offer the chief to go, the assistant chief to go, one of the trustees to go to their homeowners association meetings and just do exactly what you're describing, answer questions and do outreach. And we did those for years. And I think the reason we stopped doing them is because of just a lack of interest. I'm looking at you because I think you're part of this, right?
Yeah.
And one of the areas where we had the most engagement, ironically, was Triple Tree, which had a formed group in opposition to us, which was fun and interesting. So, I mean, the other things that we do, Nick, that indicate engagement and outreach that are very effective that we've talked about are the pancake breakfast. Those are fantastic opportunities to engage in our community. And again, this department over the 20-odd years I've been on the various boards has made serious efforts and spent not inconsiderable dollars to try to do exactly what you're describing. So It's not that I'm cynical about that, it's just I'm a realist about that. So if you would like to make a proposal to include in the budget some, you know, anywhere, I would be comfortable spending more than, allocating more than $5,000 to that, to head up an outreach effort, I think that that's a fine thing to do. Because it's going to take some resources. You know, we've talked about this on and on. Before we spend money on the website, let's make sure that that's how the majority of people are finding out about us. Maybe we should have another pancake, a hot dog breakfast, you know, the barbecue cookout kind of a thing. But figuring this kind of stuff out is not easy. And it's time consuming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it takes some resources. So a subcommittee ought to have some money to run some ads, for example. I mean, we even worked with professors at MSU way back in the, I can't remember if it was the sociology department, to design a bunch of survey instruments to get input on this fire station, which was like a 10-year process to get this built. So we've done lots of these things in the past. And that's just for context, so people understand it's not something that we have been neglectful at all. It's just something we have not been very successful in. Not to say we might not be successful if we try it again.
And as I recall, did Sourdough at some juncture, I mean, you guys went so far as to create a trifold mailer of some sort?
We had trifold mailers. We put CDs. I think we had the volunteers put a CD in everybody's mailbox back when CDs were, people were using CDs, you know? And the Zoom call, I mean, it's just all a question about how much resources we want to allocate to this. The Zoom things are not inexpensive because we have to buy a subscription to it. We all have to have some kind of laptop to make it work. Not that we couldn't make it work, but, you know, we get the phone system and rarely anybody calls in to that. So I'm not in favor of spending more money on a particular fix until we have a little better idea about how people actually want to engage with us.
And I will note, too, in the budget, we do budget for community outreach and education. I know some of the dollars are already allocated, and over the years, I think we've not spent all those dollars. We allocate $10,000 to item 420330, community outreach / education. There's $10,000 earmarked.
Yeah.
So we can look at the history of that to see how much of those monies we've used over the last couple of years to see what's left, and maybe we don't have to add. We could use some of that if there is overage. I mean, we could look at that. I'm not sure how much, because I know we already earmarked some of those funds for other uses.
I would even argue in favor of spending more money on a real effort to do this, and that would be like hiring a consultant to come in and get this and really get after this. Because if you want, and that's just my opinion, if you want to really get after it, you're going to have to do it, I think, in a much more systematic way than we've done it in the past. And us sitting around and brainstorming about it, I just don't think is particularly effective, because it's such a tough nut to crack. And the city of Bozeman has their own set of problems that I think is, you know, driving that kind of work. So anyway, I just wanted to provide that background history. Thanks, Walt, for pointing out that we do have money allocated in this, and this is just a tricky thing to do, but I'm in favor of trying it at least one more time, but I'm not in favor of continually spending money on things that we're not convinced are returning on that investment.
Yeah, and Nick, I would just caution about the CD. Although on that last one, Brian did a stirring rendition of Come On Baby, Light My Fire. It seemed to have the opposite effect that we were looking for and almost encouraged arson in our community. So it was good, though.
My heart into it.
Yeah.
One last question that came up because you mentioned the $41,000 on the solar. What's the status of the solar system? I thought we were probably going to get it this fall, but what's going on with that?
When I reached out for an update, they were trying to get their projects done before the weather hit, and we were in line, so to speak. Nothing started. He said he would keep me better posted on progress of when we would be, I guess, in the queue, but I know in the contract they have until April 30th to complete it. And
So we're just in the queue.
So it's still ongoing. I didn't, we got the grant, obviously. It's starting. The money's in. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, and we do have station signage done. If you didn't notice.
Where the heck is it?
It's up there.
It's not lit? In like Santa lights?
If you tell me how the young people say that's lit, then yes, it's lit because it looks really cool. But it's, yeah.
All right.
We might have to look at some lighting for it. Yeah.
I'll drive by tomorrow in the daytime and take a look. Okay, next meeting is, next regular meeting would be the 19th of January, if I've got that right. Does that work for everybody? Same place, same time. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Pat. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that. See you in the new year. Okay, anything else? Meeting adjourned. Thanks, guys.